The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 4 minutes past nine on this Friday. It's the 5th of December, 2025. And you're very welcome along to the show. It is the 9 till noon show. And we're broadcasting live from the Glendown Craft Shop here in beautiful Clonmany. And it's to celebrate Buy Donegal initiative that's running at the moment, which we're going to tell you so much about over the course of the next 3 hours. We do have our Friday panel with us. Unfortunately, there's been another one of these major global outages. The Cloudflare or the Cloudflare hosting site is down, so that's affecting lots of different platforms, Zoom, Restream, and loads of others as well. So we're going to have to work through that until such time as they reboot the computers. But listen, as much as you will notice, it's business as usual. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000. You can give us a call on 0749125000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. Having made his way here to Clonmany, we are joined by Councillor Paul Canning, the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. Good morning to you, Paul.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
How are you getting on?
Not too bad.
Big day in the council yesterday.
Big day in the council yesterday. We eventually got our budget passed. It was good to get it passed because people were getting tired and it was getting long and dragged out. But it was good to get it passed, you know, and I honestly think we missed a trick with our budget yesterday, but we can get into that later on.
Yeah, well, let's get into it now. I wonder, is John McAteer able to join us via telephone line? John McAteer, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Oh, I have you, John. Good morning. John McAteer, editor of the Chicconnell Tribune newspaper. Paul, what trick was missed yesterday? Because certainly for the business community and those, I suppose, in maybe tidy towns, organisations who might see a reduction in funding they might have expected, or indeed the thousands of people living in houses that need updating, repairs, maintenance, etc. OK, I accept the maintenance budget's an increase on last year, but it's still down from what was contained within the budget, and we are in a critical time here. So what trick was missed yesterday, Paul, in your view?
Yeah, I think, you know, to be quite honest, we were in a situation, now we'll just go back to our first meet, we were in a situation where the book was presented to us and it had an inclusion of 5% on the within the draft budget book. So at that point in time, we met with the council, and we asked the council then to revisit the book insofar as we weren't happy with the traffic arrangements in the Letterkenny area. And what happened is then we as a group and, we postponed the meeting at that point in time, and it didn't go down too well with the rest of the councillors because they were in a position just to let it go on, sail on through with 0%. So we said, no, we want to negotiate here, and this is, at this point in time, this is what we had to negotiate. So we met with the full team, of the council, the manager, and in particular the roads manager or the director of roads. And we stated to them at that point in time that we wanted the works in Letterkenny to cease. To be suspended till the new year. So because of the traffic implications, and the business people in Letterkenny weren't happy with the traffic at the minute. So we stated at that point in time that we wanted a couple of items, and one of the items was that we wanted the traffic completely, that works stopped until the new year.
And why was that tied into the budget negotiations?
Because that's the only time we get to use leverage. So we were tied it in, you know, that's politics, you know. And the other issue that we wanted...
So just to be clear, so all the listeners are clear as well, the 0% increase to rates, that was effectively agreed and could have been passed when?
That could have been passed 10 days ago, I would say.
So it was bringing the traffic into the equation then. So there was unanimity amongst the council members for 0%. And really what the delays were, and lots of people know this, but some don't, you wanted to negotiate the traffic issues in Letterkenny.
Correct.
As a bargaining chip, effectively.
Yes, that's exactly
right.
And
why did you fail in that regard?
They voted against it, but What happened then was, just to give you a quick overview, what happened then was we met with all the directors of service, and we gave our list, and on that list was, we also wanted to bring in a consultant to oversee the problems within Letterkenny, and to meet with the emergency service, and to meet with the taxis, and to meet with the bus people, and all of those. And we had already, myself and Kieran Brogan, as the mayor of Letterkenny, had met with the bus operators, and they were talking solutions, and a lot of solutions, you know. And to give you an idea what they were talking about, the cycle lane, they said that should be a bus lane as well as a cycle lane. I know they'd have to widen it, but at least it would have took the traffic, it would take the buses, the bus school buses, the taxis, and the main buses, but it would also allow an emergency service lane. And even it was done for the peak times from about 7:30 till about 10 o'clock in the morning, and the same in the evening. And that's the space we could undo.
That makes an awful lot of sense. To be honest, we'd be talking about active travel and not to facilitate buses in any town seems for most people crazy, right?
Crazy.
But anyway, we are where we are at. John, it's a tough balance, John McAteer, it's a tough balance to strike, isn't it? Because, you know, the council has a certain amount of money it can raise. The majority of that is through commercial rates. There's a lot of spending to be done. Businesses are saying, you know, we're struggling already. And in reality, what's the return for our paying our rates? But at the same time, it's omelets and eggs, isn't it? You know, certain areas, important areas of spending now, with the reduced rates, there's going to have to be cuts.
I've been talking to business people. I'm one of them myself. And have been for since 1987, taking rates off small businesses. It's about 40 million per year. Might sound an awful lot in the greater order of things, but for businesses are struggling and in debt and hanging in there. Councils taking money off them across the country is just not on anymore. Central government has let Donegal down. The late county manager, Michael McLoone, done a major assessment back in the day, when he knew exactly what he was doing. He found that Donegal was being shortchanged by 35 million, and that's probably 20 years ago. It's all the same. I've every sympathy for Paul and everybody else that has to either bat for the rich and to oppose them. You know, the councillors do a good job on it. Their hands are tied. They don't have the money. We've never had the money. I would also suggest that businesses in Letterkenny are talking to businesses yesterday and on Monday in Letterkenny. It's not a good time for them. It's not a good time for them. And people, including myself, we don't see us getting any real value for the rates. It goes into a grand big black hole. Okay, the council is using that money and spending it. But, you know, this just to claim, you know, for the majority of ratepayers, it's only €200 extra a year, is seeing things in isolation. And, Paul, that's my position, Art, because energy costs, input costs, wage costs, and everything else on top of that is pinning businesses to the wall. And rates is just a part of that equation. Like, at the end of the day, the system of government and how local authorities are funded has broken down. This is the eighth year in a row. And services will be cut, and there's nothing we can do about that. But I would be totally opposed to rate increases, given that there's no real value to us for
so
it.
So how do we pay the bills, John? How do we pay the bills?
Central government. It has to be central government. They talked there about the situation of traffic around Letterkenny. It's quite appalling. Active travel is anti-business. It's designed to cut emissions by 50% and take traffic off roads in major towns by 50% before 2030. It can't be any more damaging to business when people are afraid to go into Letterkenny. I mean, I can be in Letterkenny from Milford in 15 minutes. And yesterday evening, I took an hour and 15 minutes to get in there. And that's...
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. Are you still there, John? You are? No, we've lost John there. Paul, again, though, how do you square all the circles? You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, that is the issue. And the situation where we were then, we came back in relation to the roads, and in fairness to the roads team, they came back with a proposal to us. And at that point in time, in order to facilitate that proposal, we're in a position, we were thinking on, rather than the 5%, we were going to go with 2%. And that, we felt at that point in time, weighing up all the situations in Letterkenny, and weighing up that we could possibly have a consultant on there overlooking the traffic management and working with the ATU, working with the hospital, working with all the schools, that it was value for money for the businesses in Letterkenny to add a 2% onto it and pay that bill and try and get Letterkenny back to where it should be.
You were told yesterday evening towards the end of the meeting that whilst, you know, the funding commitments for 2026 may be met, the council does have to borrow to spend and to match funds and what have you. There is a problem coming down the line. This can has only been kicked down the road.
That is correct. And we are well aware of that. But at the situation what that we had within our budget book, we had allowed, we had £1 million allowed in relation to the match funding, because we have to be in a position where we can show the capacity to borrow as a council, and we have taken that out of the budget. So that is going to have a knock-on effect in years to come in relation to our capital spend and the match funding. And there is projects that we have been sanctioned for and we have been allowing for that will have to be passed on by and kicked down the road, as you said.
Okay. Listen, stay right where you are. We're going to get John McAteer back with us as well, of course, and get more views from Councillor Paul Canning, the Cathaoirleach. But first, we take this quick break. The time now is 18 minutes past nine. You're very welcome back to the programme. I hope I can say good morning now to Emer McGuinness. Hi, Emer.
Morning, Greg.
Great to have you with us. Cloud flare, whatever that is, in the sky wasn't working and a load of big sites came down. But here we are.
Yeah, well, I know. It's good to get on. Chat.
Yeah, but you're in the car. You didn't think you had the morning off, did you, and just left the house? What's going on?
I thought there was something wrong in the house, so I left the house. But anyway, it's not the house problem.
No, it's good. We were all in the same boat. Emer. John McAteer is going to be joining us again very shortly as well, and we've got Cathaoirleach Paul Canning with us. Just some breaking news overnight. And people might say it's just the Eurovision, but it's not just the Eurovision, right? We had a decision whereby the governing body of Eurovision has met. They've made some changes as to how voting is done, how people can promote their countries and all this type of stuff. This is the push back from how Israel performed in the competition last year, but also obviously the wider conversation of their involvement is based on what they're responsible for in Palestine. So the is it the EBU have decided to allow them to participate. Instantly, Ireland became one of four countries to say, no, we're not participating in that. The right decision, Emer, and I suppose, you know, we're talking now really not about a song competition. This is a geopolitical sort of conversation now, I suppose.
Yeah, it's kind of, you can see it developing over the last few years. You know, it's not really about a song competition anymore. And that's very frustrating when you're sitting watching it every year. You can almost predict what's going to happen and what country's going to vote for whoever. It's not based on the song, which is also, I think, awful for the people who, you know, go out there and participate in it. But thankfully, yes, Ireland did make the right decision for, sometimes they don't, but they did this time. And yeah, I don't think we should be broadcasting this, the fact that Israel is still involved.
Paul, what's your feelings on it? I mean, as I say, you know, you might say, well, I've never watched the Eurovision Song Contest, but I suppose this goes a bit bigger than that now.
Yeah, well, I think it's a wee bit of I agree with the actions being taken, but I think it's probably, it might suit the people financially and it might work all right for them. But
RTE, who are struggling, even though they're getting $250 million a year, yes, and license fee payers money.
Yeah, I would be in agreement with that. I think it's an easy shout. And I'm wondering, you know, whenever they are taking the high moral ground, we have a lot of European football matches, Champions League, Manor Solomon plays with Spurs. Well, I'm wondering, will they take the same line then in relation to Fulham are doing, covering their matches that makes them a few pounds?
Basketball's a big one as well.
Yes,
too.
So there's a lot. You know, this Eurovision probably costs them money, and I would say it's an easy option
but
for them.
But also too, and I'm not saying this is a reason not to take the action that they took, right? Mm. But at what point then do you make a moral judgment on what a country is doing and when you are prepared to share the stage with them or not, be it sport, be it whatever it might be?
Well, that's, you're exactly right. If you step over that line and start ticking the moral ground, you have to continue. You know, and as I say, this is an easy one because financially it probably suits them. But I'm wondering when it comes to some of the items that actually bring them in revenue, will they be as strong with their commitment in that stage?
That being said, Emer, is my argument a little bit of a lazy one in sort of saying is this setting a moral precedent? Are we ever likely to talk again in the context of another country that has been, you know, found to be responsible for a genocide and the murder of tens of thousands of innocent children and women, or women, sorry? You know, it's very unlikely that there's going to be another event, hopefully, that could be comparable to this stance that's been taken.
I have to say, for once, I'm not looking at the ifs, whys, or buts, why they did it, and if it suits them to do it. It was the right decision to make. You do have to make sometimes, and especially at that level, you do have to take a stand and do what's right, and they shouldn't be involved in it, you know, like... I don't know. I just found it a farce this last few years watching it anyhow. And I felt very sorry for the people that were actually took part,
And what happens too as well, you see, it's like sports washing that you see in some parts of the world, or greenwashing as they call it. This is reputational washing here, really, isn't it? Because the Israelis were very active in campaigning in other countries for votes.
Right.
Benjamin Netanyahu himself released a video. It became sort of almost like a skewed referendum on Israel as a country, and they came out looking good. You know, if you were to take the outcome of it as just the means test, the litmus test.
Look, you could talk about it all day, Rog. Morally, yes.
It's as simple
as that. I don't know why they took that stance. Paul did make a very valid point there. Will they continue to do it right through? I don't know. But I am still glad that decision has been made.
The competition is supposed to be all fun. It's camp, it's glitz, it's glamour. I'm not sure if it can recover from this, to be honest with you. I think this could be the death knell of it in its current incarnation. You know,
I would totally agree. I think I don't actually know. It'll be interesting to see what follows after this as well. Because there are 5 countries have pulled out.
Mm. Right, let's kind of go back to the budget, if you don't mind, Paul, and I want to bring something in here. It was reported yesterday that Ireland in a single month collected €10 billion in corporation tax. Only 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, that was our entire corporation tax for a year. We took that in 1 month. What I can't understand, and I gave some stats yesterday about how far this would go, 28,500 defective concrete block homes it would fix, right, which is massive. That would fix the problem effectively. The 10T project 10 times over. It would employ 248,000 nurses for a year. This is a tax take for 1 month. Can you make sense, or can you help me understand, right, how, say, for instance, in the budget yesterday, you're just fighting over a couple of hundred grand, and there's this type of money washing around in the country, and even to the wider point as why we have any poverty in this country at all. One other stat, every single child in poverty in this country could be given €50,000. Every child out of that 1 month's corporation tax take. How is this country the way it is then, Paul, in your view?
Well, in my view, we are, you know, in fairness, we are spending money in the county, and people tend to say we're the forgotten county, but we had a capital budget yesterday, almost €500 million. And you mentioned the TNT, which is €1 billion. The MICA, what we have actually sanctioned in the MICA is almost €500 million as well. So, you know, you take that, we have €100 million, we have €100 million that is going to the ATU on different items. We have €40 million that's going in direction of the new hospital. And we have a list of items. We have a total list from Letterkenny right through of items where we are spending money. Like you have the Killy Beggs, you have Ball Buffet, you have Lufford, you have the Alpha Beta, you have Bundoran,
okay,
you have the Greenway.
Okay, there's good infrastructural spending.
But that's still money.
Of course it is. I'm not in any way doubting that. But at the same time, and I'll come back to Emer on this, at the same time what we have is, though, we have the lowest disposable income, we've got the lowest incomes, we've got one of the highest rates of DASH schools, we've got one of the highest rates of poverty. You know, we have St. Vincent de Paul experiencing record telephone calls for support this year. We have children in poverty in great numbers. We've got a homelessness problem. We've got people waiting for a social home for generations. You know, that's fine what you're saying, but the people listening to this show today are wondering, when is some of this 10 billion per month going to start trickling down to them in their actual lives?
You see, that the system that we are going in that direction in relation to everything that we do, insofar as we are doing our capital building program that's going to help those people that are waiting in houses. Like, we have a program now that's about 1,800 houses. We have 600 already on site being built, you know, and we have 600 in the plan. And we have the other 600 then already on site as well. So we are doing a lot in that aspect of, in relation to your St. Vincent de Paul's and all of that. It is filtering down. And
it's bear, not Paul.
It
it's
is.
Not, it's
but
not.
Bear in mind also, like,
This is the problem. This is a problem for people, Paul. If you believe that it's filtering down, because you are elected to represent the people, and with respect, that shows that you don't understand actually what people are going through. To be honest with you, and I mean that with absolute respect.
No, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Like, but the situation where we're at, we have the number one, the fiscal advisory is the group. They're also telling us less spend, less spend, less spend. We are spending. We are working with system. We have programs in place that is trying, for a better word, then, to get to those people. We mightn't be getting to them, I hear you, but we are, and we're trying to put programs in place that allows that to happen.
Well, you did have a program in place last year. It was the supports, the financial supports. You could do 5 years of those with 1 month of corporation tax and nothing for those people this year. I'll come back to you in case you want to refute that. Emer, sorry, I know you're chomping there to get in on this. What's your views on what's the situation?
I don't know if I am, because I was kind of, you know, when I seen the topic this morning, I was dreading coming on because I was afraid I'd probably go too far. But I read a post last night. You know, I listened to what Paul said. I know they're doing their best in ways. But there is so much money squandered, both nationally and locally. Like, we seem to want to be one of the richest countries, you know, to be economically up there. But our middle-class people, people that have just middle-class average jobs that go out to work every day, are really struggling and suffering. And we're the ones being nailed every day. Like, I read a post last night on support nurses and midwives. I don't know if you've seen it, Greg. It was about a man had wrote a letter into them, and he had seen this money that had been given to Ukraine, and he didn't want to be named. He had lost his wife. He had lost his two sons to cancer. His wish was that he'd get to see them shortly. He had no money to fix the heat in his house because he had paid. It was just a really, really sad story. But I think it kind of clicked with everyone, because everyone has the same thing. Like, we're talking about, and Paul has mentioned there about loads of different things that they spend money on. Come down to Killy Beggs. You mentioned Killy Beggs there, Paul. Like, there's been money invested in buildings. This is probably, will they be used? Will they be used 2 or 3 times a year? And yet there's children sitting, waiting on, and this is at a national level. Everything, as Greg just said, is broken. Like, you know, children with scoliosis, you see it every night, treatments. I was in St. Luke's Hospital yesterday, and my God, I'll tell you something. When, in a few months' time, I intend to try and raise money for places like that. But that is an issue. Again, all this money for all these great charities and organisations is raised, and the money is collected by normal people and taken from normal people that are already struggling. That shouldn't be the case. This is where our money should be going. It should be investment in things locally and nationally. And that is what our representatives
yeah,
should
see,
be doing.
See, I understand.
Building buildings.
I understand the frustration people have about the 150 million euro going to Ukraine. But this is what I don't understand. Is that no one seems to care that we can make 10 billion euro in corporation tax in a month. Like,
well, where's it gone, Greg?
So what I mean is, even if that 150 million, say, for instance, Zelensky scams 100 million for himself and 50 million reaches people that need it, right? Just let's say hypothetically, that 10 billion, people aren't making any mental connection to it. 10 billion in a month of corporation tax. John McAteer.
And businesses closing.
Yeah, John McAteer is joining us here now. John, we're trying to square the circle of this massive income that we have. I'm not sure if you heard, but Councillor Canning, and quite rightly, none of the statistics or stats he says was wrong, was talking of the major investment that's happening in Donegal. But there seems to be
buildings,
as Ema just pointed out, but there seems to be a big gap between what's coming into this country and what normal people are feeling on the ground.
Absolutely. It's been that way for a number of years. The government has plenty of money. The exchequer balances are very robust and very strong. It's not related to us down on the ground here. We're not getting that. I've never seen less sentiment than I'm experiencing this Christmas time. And that's all right across the county. And it's probably the same in every other county. Ever since the government came back to office last year, they seem to be misfiring. They're launching more plans after proposals after more plans, and the boots on the ground to build the houses, to repair the infrastructure is not there. All we're seeing is around major towns and major developments where there's big money being spent on active travel. To the likes of us out in the Milford area, things like the budget and corporation tax means absolutely nothing to us because we're all pinned to our colours to make ends meet. And like at the end of the day, maybe the government is too long in power, given that effectively the main arm of the government is there since 2011. I think that's a very, very big problem. And they're just totally reliant on getting legislation into place that could take years to achieve. And it's just not happening for them.
Paul, what was
the
gap? I'll come back to you in a second, John. What was the gap between a 5% increase and 0% increase in commercial rates in the budget, Paul? Like, what was the gap?
The 2 million.
2 million?
1.9 million, like, to be exact.
You know, like, you wouldn't see that out of 10 billion. Do you know what I mean? That's So looking at it, I'm going to bring it up to the sort of, up to the local government term, right? So in that 1 month of corporation tax, you wouldn't see the gap in that budget, and yet yous are rowing over it for 5 or 6 or 7 days. That's a serious problem, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's back to, as I said earlier, like, we, you know, the half a billion that's been spent on our capital program has not been mentioned. It's the 225 million for the running costs of it. But in relation to, and I know it was mentioned there about buildings, but all those buildings will need employees. You take the Letterkenny Hospital, for instance. That's going to work both ways. You're going to take people into the hospital to get them sorted, and you're also going to have staff working on it. Mm. And again, we're pushing the ATU.
But the businesses that are open already and that are closing because they can't afford all these, and now yous are hiking up. You know, it's crazy.
But it hasn't been hiked up. It stayed at 0% So there was no hike in relation to the commercial rates. And also in relation to the tourist hub in Killybegs that we built there for 4 million, that is purposely to bring, as Killybegs, we were informed that Killybegs needs the tourism and it needs the package, and we're trying to do a community building in there for the people in Killybegs, for that community.
Okay, so, listen, we're going to come back to all of this, and I want to bring John McAteer back in, but we do have a quick ad break to take. We're in the company here of John McAteer, editor of the Tyrconnell Tribune newspaper, Councillor Paul Canning, Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Councillor, and the manager of Donegal Mart, Emer McGuinness. Now, just to let you know, we are broadcasting today live from the Glendone Craft Shop in Clonmany. It's to celebrate by Donegal, and we're surrounded by amazing items here. produced here, available here, and available to buy as part of Buy Donegal. And there are hundreds upon hundreds of businesses available for you to have a look at on the Buy Donegal website. Just search out in Google. We'll be telling you much more about all of that and answering your legal questions all between now and 12. Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to a special 9 till noon show. Hi, Greg. Don't like to be ranting or named, but something needs to be done with the ED. I took my husband in by ambulance. Urgent request by GP. Not seen by a doctor until 9 hours later. This is not all about me. There were many people in the same position. It's dangerously managed. Staff are run off their feet and stressed. Thank you. Love your show. Thank you very much indeed. A caller says the council wasted millions on the road into Letterkenny. They made it a disaster. Whoever designed the port road should be held accountable. And in fairness to Councillor Paul Canning, him and his party colleagues were opposed to that and opposed to elements of the active travel. Not in their entirety, but certainly in their design and their timing. Right, John, is there anything else there that you wanted to add, John McAteer, just on our last topic?
I would have simply thought, just going back to the rich, I must boast of that conversation. I would have been suggesting, and I'm going to suggest now, that for years and years, the whole model is broken down. And until there needs to be an urgent root and branch independent review of public services, how they're utilised, how can they best be utilised. And that applies to Donegal County Council as well as everybody else. I mean, when was there an audit done to test the efficiency and to examine better ways and means of doing things and saving more money? I think that's at the heart. We can't go on spending more and more money every year because ratepayers are not going to pay it anyway. It's as basic as that. And I have a lot of sympathy for the local councillors, and there's 31 of them across the country. But this system of screwing the ratepayers, why should we be screwed more than anybody else? We're already, I mean, energy costs are absolutely, three-phase energy costs are astronomical. And, I mean, businesses are so dependent on all of those things. And yet the council will come out then in isolation and say, but, you know, for the vast majority, it's only 200. That's beside the point. The reality is it's 200 on top of hundreds of others, 200s, if you know what I mean. So, like, that's where they're getting it wrong. And, that has been the model for collecting rates. It goes back to 1977 when Fianna Fáil abolished rates and then brought in rates from commercial premises. So those who are trying to create work in local communities, we're being penalised for doing so, and I don't accept it, and I never will.
Paul, you were nodding with some of what John had to say there.
I do agree with him there in so far as, you know, at times we get complacent. And I think it is that we should be going back to the public with the workings of Donegal County Council. And if there is items to be changed or if there's items to be reviewed, I think I would agree with them on that aspect of it, that a lot of people out in the county, because of their own work and because of their day-to-day living, they don't actually know the workings of Donegal County Council. And I think there should be some sort of system within the council that actually comes out and speaks to the public and says, this is what we do, this is what we are planning to do, should we be doing it different? And that's going right across from planning, housing, the MICA, the roads, and the water, and all of that. We should be doing that. You know,
who opposed, because I've got a lot of reaction to this, so I must ask, who opposed, I'm not looking for individual names, who opposed suspension of the active travel plans in Letterkenny?
Fianna Fáil team.
Opposed, no, who not proposed, who opposed it? Who didn't want it to happen?
The active travel?
Yeah, the delay in it. Yous wanted it.
Oh, sorry. The Fianna Fáil party and Declan Meehan, and who there was a number of them.
So you were in favour of deferring it.
We were in favour of deferring it.
And Sinn Féin is a block?
Yeah. Fine Gael was along with us as well. So it was Sinn Féin and a number of independents as a block. Oppose that.
Okay, right. Okay, that's interesting. That is interesting. Emer, you know, I think, and this is not directed at Paul, but we don't want a bubble either here in that what is important to the people, right? What important is to the people is about how they can afford to live, their access to services, their ability maybe to build on their own property. That's the day-to-day bread and butter stuff. And I don't mean this funny, but, you know, they're not sitting around talking about $4 million being spent on a tourist hub. That's fantastic, don't get me wrong, but there seems to be a disconnection there.
The tourist
a little
hub
bit.
Is fantastic. I didn't actually just mean the tourist hub.
I know what you mean,
yeah. There's a few other buildings have been built. I just find them totally unnecessary. And then when you see how much people are struggling around you, in their normal, as you say, everyday lives, I just see it as a lot of the time as money wasted. Like, we did changes in Donegal town to the one-way system. It's a total disaster for any business person trying to get around the town every day. I don't know what benefit that was to the town, apart from maybe put a few businesses under more financial strain because the traffic and the public can't get to them. There's decisions made that are absolutely crazy.
Well, let's go north from there. The Donegal town mess. The crossings.
And it is a mess.
The crossings in Ballybofane, Stranorlar, which were called out from the beginning, and now the active travel in Letterkenny. You could go on and on further west and north. You know, Paul, why are people not consulted or listened to?
Yeah, well, see, that's the questions that we're asking, believe it or not. Why we are not meeting with the bus operators, why we are not meeting with the schools, with the AT, I'm going Letterkenny, with the AT. There seems to be a template set down, and it seems to be stemming from the time the Green Party was in power, where it's more about the active travel and getting out and walking, and we agree with that, but Letterkenny, Donegal is a rural county.
But Letterkenny does need a bus lane. Make it a bus lane.
Yes.
There's no plan for a bus lane in Letterkenny.
You can't
blame the Greens for that.
No, but that's exactly what we were discussing. That's exactly, and that stemmed from the meeting that we had with the local link and with the bus operators. And that's what we're trying. And that's what we were trying to do. But it was through back on us. We don't have the money. And we said then, well, if we get the money through rates, will you do it? And they said they would.
The only thing is, and I'm not. This is not unique to this program, right? But if you listen to the 9 till noon show before the work started in Donegal Town, people were against it and warned what was happening. If you listen to the 9 till noon show, people were saying these crossings in Ballybofane and Stranorlar are absolute madness. And if you listen to the 9 till noon show, you would have said that the active travel, it doesn't matter. Let the millions go. We'll come at it again. We don't need that right now. And if we're going to have a town bus system, if that ever happens now, you need for it to be able to pull in and pick people up safely and to move around the town unhindered by general traffic. Yeah. But people don't seem to listen.
Yeah, but just we can match you word for word there. If you had to listen to the Fianna Fáil councillors and the Chamber, we said the exact same thing that you said on your show. Exactly. And they didn't listen to us, is it? Because we are not the majority.
And John McAteer, your front page of the paper every week, you know, reflects you what the people feel. You know, I mean, you know what's going on.
I do indeed, and active travel and all that kind of thing is costing the council a lot of money. Say you're getting 4 or 5 million down this year, it'll probably be bigger next year. It's costing the council 20% of that. It could run into 700,000-800,000 euro. So they're going to have to borrow. Active travel is anti-business, and the sooner that gets into the heads of the people that's running Donegal County Council, the quicker it is. Because we don't want to go into Letterkenny, but we must go in. I was in Letterkenny all day yesterday. I was in Letterkenny on Monday. I was in Letterkenny last Thursday. I'm leaving Mufford and giving myself an extra hour to get into Letterkenny, and I missed an appointment 3 weeks ago because of that. You'll get to Ulliston in double quick time. All of a sudden, you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs for the best part of an hour. You're ringing forward to see, will it be okay if I'm going to be another 15 or 20 minutes late? People are fed up to the teeth of that. Carry on. I mean, everything that they seem to touch, and it's not the council's fault. It's not been communicated to the people, but that's just a part of part of the symptoms that's there.
Yeah, the reality is it's not the council's fault, right? The reality is, and again, in credit to Fianna Fáil and where they did resist the four lanes. They resisted the active travel plans in the current form. And if the truth be told as well, no harm to them, the majority of people that voted in favour of the progress of the active travel plans were councillors that aren't even in Letterkenny. I mean, is that wrong for me to say, Paul?
That all goes back to the better local government plan that Noel Dempsey brought in in 1999. The powers that councillors need and that councils need is not there. It's been taken away from them. It's been eroded. And from what I can see, as far as the Department of Local Government is concerned, the local councils are a bit of a nuisance. They're handy for collecting bits of money, but they won't give them any authority or power to make their own decisions. And to make those decisions, you need a bigger budget and you need a proper budget. Donegal County Council doesn't have that. We probably have some of the best councillors in Ireland. And they're as frustrated about it as we are. I'm totally frustrated about it as a journalist writing about it week after week and just getting the feedback. Because when you write about these things, I'm getting feedback from way outside our catchment area, from as far away as Dunloe and Inishowen, Malinhead. People are just reluctant to go into Letterkenny. Right. And I mean, until there's something done about that, yep. That's going to keep getting worse.
We've talked about the pressures businesses are under in Donegal. Obviously, you know, the rates is an issue. They've got a break for now, which is good news for them, of course. But there is the cost of, you know, the new pension scheme for some, electricity, and all of that. So it's never been more important that we support them because they support us, don't they? They help pay our wages. They support our charities. They support our young people. And this is why Buy Donegal is so important. So, Emer, do you like to shop local? You're an influencer, right? You are an influencer. I'm calling you that anyway. You influence me, right? So you're an influencer. It is important where we can, isn't it, to shop local and support our wonderful Donegal businesses.
Oh, it is, and we have so many wonderful businesses, you know, just all around the county and locally as well. Yes, and we should do our level best because they are really feeling the pinch now if you talk to any of them. What I do love, and it has come, and it's getting bigger and bigger each year as well, the craft fairs as well, that the homes in all the towns and all the local producers, like it makes a bit of money for them local producers on them different days and nights. And yeah, I love walking around them and picking up pieces and getting wee presents. You can buy gift vouchers, you can buy hampers. I try to do all that as local as I can. When you have young ones, obviously, sometimes they want... to want presents for clothes or different things like that. You can't really. But as much as you can, yes, we definitely should be trying to support our local shops and stay in. And if you have to go outside your town to get something, definitely stay as much as you can within your county.
John McAteer, you strike me as a man who's always very, very smart, but also that everything you're wearing has been bought within 2 square miles. You seem to me the epitome of shopping local.
Shop in Letterkenny.
Yes,
shop
same
in Letterkenny yesterday.
Enough,
I spent €800 in Letterkenny yesterday.
Say what?
I spent €800 in Letterkenny.
I thought we put a 15-euro cap on our Christmas presents, John.
I'm not talking about Christmas presents alone. I spent €800 in Letterkenny yesterday between buying boots and buying clothes, jumpers, trousers, all that kind of thing. It's putting money into Letterkenny and business. Yeah. I spent ages in Letterkenny in the last couple of weeks talking to business people. And people are not shopping local. Online shopping, we see it everywhere. There is no sentiment to support local business. The sentiment is not there. People don't even think of supporting their local shops. I mean, we have lost a shop in a post office. We don't have any businesses literally left in Farnham apart from 3 small shops. Mm. Like rural Ireland has been dying like this for a long, long time. This year is the first time that I'm experiencing at first hand this winter the actual rural depopulation. The people that should be there in their early 20s and to their early 40s, 50s, they're gone.
Yeah.
There's nothing for them here. They're not interested in going into working in Ireland because they're being attached to the hilt. They prefer to go to Australia, even though they're far removed from family at Christmas and everything else. Online shopping is taking over. And that's a very sad reflection because if we're not going to support local business, there's going to be numbers of businesses probably listening to this morning. I talked to some of them yesterday. They won't be here next year.
Yeah,
they're in Letterkenny
okay.
for
well,
40,
we can
50
do our
years.
Bit. We can do our bit. And I think I'm pretty young and relevant. And I blend. It's a blend, you know, online and local. Paul Canning, this is why these initiatives are so important, you know. And the website shows, the Buy Donegal website shows that there are so many businesses in so many different categories that are offering, you know, great services and products.
Yeah. And I'm just at the back of my head, I'm picturing John with the iron jumper coming out of Letterkenny on him. I want to thank the people here in Glendowen, this craft shop, because of the hospitality they've given us. And that is one of the key things that we have with the Bay of Donegal. If you do go to all the wee knick-knack shops that people are producing their own products, that it's the hospitality and it's the conversation that they have. And
but it's the story as well. You see, there's a story here.
Story. Yeah. It's a complete story. But the other item where I live, and you know, we have a lot of people trucking into Derry. A lot of people trucks into Derry every whoop about. But I think even from now to Christmas that if they did shop local, and even, and I'm not getting at you, Greg, here, but even if they go to the local hairdresser and they go to, you know, they go to the local beautician and they go to the local nail technician, et cetera, and just give a little bit to their local.
Yeah, well, I go to my local hairdresser very regularly. Come here. we'll leave that for the late night show. Finally, have you anyone to say happy birthday to?
Yes, I need to say, and going back to our local supplier, like, I need to say happy birthday to my daughter, Vanessa, who is, she's not 30 yet. She's very close to it, but she's not 30 yet. Okay. So I want to give it her birthday now in the next couple of days. So I want to offer
happy
Vanessa
birthday,
a happy birthday.
Thanks so much, Eimear, for joining us. And sorry for getting you out of your lovely warm house. Have a wonderful weekend.
Right.
Look after yourself. Bye-bye. John McAteer, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for working through the tech issues for us. Look after yourself, John. Chat to you soon.
Thank you, Greg.
Bye-bye, John. And Paul, listen, thank you for coming over as Cathaoir Lough. It's great for you to be here on a number of levels. Is Jim O'Callaghan in town? He's halfway out the door already.
Yeah, well, I'm supposed to be at Rock Hall at 11.
All right, go on.
For a presentation.
Go on. We'll chat to you after the news, which will be a little bit delayed.
Okay.